All right, welcome again to the ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman, and I'm glad you're joining in today. We are indeed blessed to be able to come together and still have the freedom to come together and around God's Word and truth and sincerity, and to learn God's Word and to ask for His blessings upon His Word, and just ask the Lord to saturate us with His Word, that we could, His Word would even become part of us. And it does. As we study it, and as we begin to believe it, and put it into practice into our life, and to incorporate God's Word into our being, then it does become part of us. Sanctify them through thy truth. Clean them up. Sanctify them. Make them like God. Holy. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So see, God's word goes much more within you than just in your ears. The Bible says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. When we study God's word, it affects our spirit and ingrains into our spirit and becomes part of our spirit. Today we're going to talk about another different category in this study that we've been in for quite a while now. We've got 20 lessons in this study so far, and I think two more are going to be it. We're going to talk about something that's been a somewhat problem in Christianity, and nobody's ever been able to figure it out, or there's been a lot of different people say this and say that, and everybody's got their own version of this and everything else. But when we get on this topic today, we're not going to carry it out and make all kind of excuses and say what we think and what this and that. We're just going to get in the scriptures and find out what the Bible says. And whatever it says about this subject, we're going to believe. Now, our subject is sin. Our topic is sin. We're talking about this, talking about sin. Well, in the scriptures, there's one thing mentioned about sin one time, and it was written down three different times with three of the Gospels, and it was recorded, and Jesus is the one that said it, and He never said anything like that or about that or context of it ever again. He said it one time, and it was recorded three times by three different writers, and when we read it, it shows us what the answer to this problem is. Now, what we're talking about is the unpardonable sin. Have you ever heard that? Unpardonable sin? That's a scary thought. And just thinking about what we've been talking about the sin matter, and answering all the things that we've already studied and getting the gist of what this sin is and what sin is, that it is part of us, and that there's no good thing in the flesh. We've been cursed with this sin, with a sin nature. It's our nature. It's not something that we do, it's something that we are, you see. So this sin has kind of taken things over. But Jesus came, and we've been studying His relationship with it, and studying the saved people, the bride of Christ relationship with it, and we've been studying the unsaved relationship having to do with sin. And we find out that there is grace and mercy having to do with this sin. This sin subject, this sin topic in the scriptures. And the scriptures teach us that. We've already been over that. So we come to this problem of the unpardonable sin. Now, is this something that is indeed a fact? Is it doctrinal? I mean, is there such thing as a sin that if you sin it and you commit that sin, then you cannot be pardoned? Well, first of all, What is being pardoned? Have you been pardoned? Of course you have. According to the Pauline gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The only way that you can be saved and be born again and have the new birth is that you first be pardoned. You're let off the hook. So does this thing still apply? This unpardonable sin still apply to somebody that has been pardoned according to the Word of God? Or does it just apply to unsaved people? Or does it even apply to any of us? That's what we want to talk about in the Scriptures today and get this thing nailed down and put it behind us and move on. Now, you have a choice in what you believe, and hopefully the reason you're studying these along with these studies is because you believe that it goes by the Scriptures alone. Sola Scriptura, the Scriptures alone. We compare Scripture with Scripture, that's scriptural, that's doctrinal, and we study to show ourselves approved unto God. We don't want to make up our own story about what God's Word says. We want to know what God says, and we want to believe it, and move on. And if we don't understand it, so what? We don't understand it. We keep moving, God is right, and one day maybe He'll show it to us. And if He doesn't, we'll keep on moving with the things that we do understand. You see, you're not ever going to understand everything in the Scripture. God, I mean, the Scriptures, you compare God with His Word and then humanity. The Lord made the Scriptures and wrote the Scriptures and had the Holy Ghost spoke the words. The men spoke the words as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and then they were written down. The words were written down. And there could have been many, 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 many more books. The writer said that if there was, if everything that Jesus done that was recorded, it was possible, as metaphorically he said this, but it was possible that the whole world couldn't hold the books. So everything that God is about and everything that God, there's some things that God cannot tell us and cannot explain to us because they're, we wouldn't understand them. When Paul came back from heaven, he said, I can't explain it to you. I can't tell you about it. It's incredible. There's no words to describe it. Not in humanity. You see, so there is a break and a separation between the Lord and His nature and human nature, as far as understanding goes. People walking around acting like they're so uppity, smarty, and educated, and all this, that, and the other, and maybe they are. But they're nothing when it comes to God the Holy Ghost and to the Word of God. I mean, you can't extinguish the Word of God. It goes on and on and on and on. And the truths that are in that are go so far, they could take you so far into something that, I mean, that God not only uses that book to help people, He uses that book to destroy people. Now, you take that with a grain of salt, but that's true. You go to God's Word acting like you're somebody and acting like you're going to mess with God's words and fool around after you've already been warned and told to leave them alone and leave them like they are, and you're doing it for selfish and profitable reasons and for belly reasons and things of that nature. God messes people's minds up, and He'll make a fool out of you in front of everybody. But we're not going to do that. And I'm getting way on out there, but this is necessary to be said, I guess. But the unpardonable sin. Now, first of all, the expression unpardonable sin is not a scriptural term. It's not in the Bible. You won't find it. It's not there. unpardonable sin. There's no such thing in the scriptures. Jesus mentioned in one time, in one conversation, and it was never, ever brought up again. And he didn't say unpardonable sin. He said, never have forgiveness, and we'll get into that. And he said, is in danger of eternal damnation. He didn't say somebody was going to be damned, and you're damned, and that's it, and no taking back, and you're damned. He didn't say that. He said, is in danger of it. So he didn't really even accuse them of committing the unpardonable sin. He said, you're in danger of committing it. We'll get into that. However, the description of an unpardonable sin is spoken of by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the only one that ever speaks or discusses this topic. The only one. The only other discussion that's in the scriptures is that the three writers recorded it. Now, no other writers of God's word were instructed to address the subject. They weren't told to address the subject. They weren't told to talk about the unpardonable sin. They weren't, God the Holy Ghost never instructed anybody to talk about that. You know, this is an important fact when we're searching for the true meaning of the unpardonable sin and what it truly is and what it truly means. Now, all we're going to do is look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said concerning the matter and leave it there. It alone does answers the confusion of what is it? What is the unpardonable sin? It answers it alone, just what Jesus said. The unpardonable sin, now there's a lot of religions and a lot of these hocus-pocus, all kinds of religionality or however you want to say it out there, that comes up with this unpardonable sin to entrap people and to bring them under bondage, and all kinds of sort of wicked stuff that goes on in the world with this topic. The unpardonable sin. You know, this is one of the most spoken about sin in the Bible by unsaved people, and that don't understand the Bible. They talk about the unpardonable sin all the time. Have you ever heard anybody talk about that? Well, what about the unpardonable sin? I mean, when you're witnessing to somebody or trying to evangelize them, get them saved or just being a light for the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever, and the topic of Christianity or salvation or heaven or hell comes up and, well, what about the unpardonable sin? Have you ever heard that? Society knows the title of the unpardonable sin. Now, it is a subject one should take heed to, considering the consequences, if it is indeed an unpardonable sin. That's something to be serious about. No pardon? Don't you think? That is, if you know what the sin is. All they've said is the title. The unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin. Well, what is the sin? I mean, if there is a unpardonable sin in the scriptures and it came from Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I want to know what that sin is so I make sure that I don't ever commit it. Don't you? But it's not recorded. It's a mystery. Is that the way God is? Does God tell us there's an unpardonable sin and then not mention what it is? How do you avoid committing something that you're not familiar with? You cannot. Do you really think a God that would put himself through what Jesus Christ did for the world, for the unsaved world, the unsaved world, would mention an unpardonable sin that everyone needed to avoid by all means and then not tell you what it is? I mean, The confusion is not in it being unpardonable. It's in, what is it? Did Jesus say what the sin was? Who was he addressing it to if he did? Was he addressing it to everyone? Why did Jesus bring up the topic to begin with? If someone can commit an unpardonable sin, if someone can commit a sin that can be unforgivable, what does that say about the atonement of Christ, respectfully? I mean, Jesus said, it's finished. All sins can be paid for and are paid for. If there's an unpardonable sin, all sins are not redeemable. And Jesus' blood is no good, respectfully. Jesus' blood is no good for one sin, the unpardonable sin. Does that make sense? You know, that would mean that Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39, let me read it to you. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. That's what we're talking about, sins, and being forgiven for every one of them. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified, pardoned, justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. If there's an unpardonable sin and a sin that you can commit that cannot be forgiven, that you do not know what it is, and Jesus didn't tell you, and then he died for all sins except for this unpardonable sin, then what does that do for this brother Paul, what he mentioned, just what I just got through reading to you in Acts 13. And by him all that believe are justified from all things. Oh, wait just a minute. Is it all things, parentheses, except the unpardonable sin? He didn't say that. That would mean that Acts 13, 38, and 39 does not really mean all when it says all. Now, is God's word pure and perfect or not? Now, this is where all you theologian Bible changers come in. All really don't. Well, that shouldn't have really been in there. That should have meant, well, they have a heyday on that. But that's not how we believe. We believe all of God's words are pure. The words of the Lord are pure words. Every one of them. Now, they either are or they are not. But that would mean that Acts chapter 13, what Brother Paul told us about everything being justified, all things, does not really mean all when it says all. You see all this? All this is just something that the Lord... all this is not something that the Lord would have created. The Lord didn't come up with this. That's confusion. And the scripture says that God is not the author of confusion. The Lord is not the author of confusion. His words are not confusion, and they will not confuse you if you come at them with sincerity and truth. They speak truth, and they give you understanding about truth. And you walk away with peace and joy and understanding. You don't walk away with confusion and, have I committed the unpardonable sin? I mean, what is it? Is that the God that we have? I mean, God could do that if he wanted to. He could confuse us. He could tell us there's a sin. What a thing to do. What a thing to play on a creation, on your creation. I mean, if God was a joker and he wanted to just blow your mind, he'd say, okay, all sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ, respectfully. Through Jesus Christ's blood, everything's forgiven except There's one sin that if you commit it, I'm going to get you. Is that the God that we know? That's not him, folks. That's not him. Let's look and see what the word pardonable means. What does pardonable mean? Well, it means that may be pardoned. When it's applied to persons, people that can be pardoned. Pardoned. The offender is pardonable, let off the hook, venial, excusable, that may be forgiven, overlooked or passed by, applied to things as a pardonable offense, is allowed. He can be pardonable. There is permission for pardon. What does un mean? You know, you put that un before pardonable. Well, un before pardonable negates it and denies it. It says, instead of being pardonable, instead of being eligible to be pardoned or be let off the hook, you cannot be pardoned. It negates it. It denies it. If someone is pardonable and un is put before it, then pardonable is denied and it becomes unpardonable. That's just simple. That's just simple. You're either forgiven and pardoned or you're not, and you're not pardoned. One or the other. Now, this is what the scriptures say, what we're fixing to go over, and there's only about four or five verses that have anything to do with this subject at all in the entire Old and New Testament. The Old Testament doesn't talk about it. It's just in the Gospels, three of them out of four, the Gospels, and three of the men, the Holy Ghost chose to write these matters down. And we're going to read them, and then we're going to talk about them. I'm going to nail this thing down, okay? All right, first scripture is found in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31 and 32. Let me read it to you. Wherefore I say, who's talking? Jesus is. Wherefore I say unto you, all means all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, which is himself, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Wow. That's some powerful words. The Lord said, you want to talk about me? Go ahead. You can be forgiven for that. But if you speak words against God the Holy Ghost and you blaspheme against God the Holy Ghost, there's never forgiveness. It shall be forgiven him for talking about the Son of Man, myself. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. All right, let's just stop right there. Let's put a little more truth into this scenario. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Jews. He's talking to the Jews. This is a Jewish teacher talking to this is the God of Israel in the flesh talking to Israel corporately and talking to these Pharisees and these Sadducees and answering them with this statement. And this is what Matthew recorded. Okay, but he's talking to them. There's no Gentiles involved at all. None. He's not talking to Gentiles. He's talking to Jews. Okay? That's very important in this matter. You got to just remember that. All right? Moving right along. Now, Mark, he talks about this. That was Matthew we just read. Mark says and writes about what he heard the Lord saying, and here's what he said. Verily I say unto you, all There's that all again. All sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger. Did you get that? But is in danger. He said never hath forgiveness. But then he turns around and says, but is in danger of eternal damnation. He didn't say blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness and is eternally damned. He said, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger. If you commit it, you're in danger of eternal damnation. Because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. That's a very important statement right there, those five words. Actually, they're the answer to what the unpardonable sin is. Because they said, who said? Have you ever said this? He hath an unclean spirit? Because they said, Mark recorded, he hath an unclean spirit. All right, let's see what the rest of them say, and then we'll sew this thing up. Luke, he was the other writer that wrote this thing down. Let's look at him. Luke chapter 11, verse 14 and 15 says, he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. All right, so Luke gives us a little more of what's going on in this scenario where this statement is made only one time in all the history of the Scriptures. One time, and one time only during the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry, it was mentioned one time. And Luke says he was casting out a devil when it was mentioned. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone, the dumb spake. And the people wondered. But some of them, remember that them? Because they said, but some of them, they said, but some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. They said his power, or the power behind him casting that devil out, that he was casting out in front of all them people, and he cast it out, and it was successful, and the devil obeyed the Lord and left that man, and that man began to speak. Some of them, because they said, he hath an unclean spirit, remember? But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. In other words, Satan. Or one of Satan's Beelzebub. I think that's Satan. He's the chief. But Beelzebub, they accused Jesus of casting out devils by an unclean spirit, saying that Jesus, the spirit that was in Jesus, was unclean and it was of the devil. So they were calling the Holy Ghost and his nature, devil or Satan, having to be affiliated with Satan. And that made Jesus's ear, his eyebrows come up. It made his ear, he stopped everything right then. And that's when he made this statement. And he never said that they committed an unpardonable sin. He just described what an unpardonable sin could be if you kept on running your mouth. And he gave them a stern warning that they're in danger of being eternally damned. Listen to it. Luke also records in chapter 12 and verse 10, the scripture says, and whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And these fellows that were running their mouth about Jesus, I mean, he'd already proven who he was, and he already proven that through this miracle, this was a sign of who he was, and he only done it to the Jews. The signs are for the Jews. And this miracle that he did by having the power to cast out this devil in front of all these people proved by signage that he was the Son of God, God indeed, and had God's power to do this. Well, in return, these smart alecks, because they said, he hath an unclean spirit, and they were talking about Jesus, but factually, they were talking about his power and the spirit that gave him the power, God the Holy Ghost. And they said he was unclean. All right? And then they also said, but some of them said, he casted out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And then even went even farther in identifying God the Holy Ghost as Satan. And Jesus said, whoa, 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 wait just a minute, stop everything. And then he records what Matthew says. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoso speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now, all that what he just got through saying, he never made an accusation that they committed the unpardonable sin, even though they really did. But they didn't know it was unpardonable and probably wouldn't have cared anyway. But Jesus stopped everything and he said, wait just a minute, you've gone too far. And then Mark said, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wheresoever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Excuse me. So you see what this is turning out to be? This has nothing to do with a Gentile or any saved Jews, for that matter, or anything outside of this scenario right here where Jesus was physically present with these people that opened their stinking mouths and said some things that probably did damn them, because they made it to where after the atonement, when Jesus dies in a year or so, or however long it was between this time he said this and his crucifixion, and he made the atonement, that it was not possible for them to be saved. I'm not sure about that. The scripture doesn't say that. But it says that they were in danger of eternal damnation, that they didn't actually get damned right that second. The Lord said, what he's saying is, you better watch your mouths. You don't know what you're saying. And Mark and Luke and Matthew recorded it. And none of them said that anybody committed an unpardonable sin. And none of them ever said that there was a mystery unpardonable sin. And Jesus never said that either. What he said was, if you're going to talk about me, that's fine. He said, but if you're going to talk about God the Holy Ghost, and you're going to run your mouth like that, you're in danger of eternal damnation, and you're never going to be forgiven in this world or another world. And shut them up. And that was all that was said about that, and it never says whether they were forgiven or not. Probably not. But atonement hadn't been made yet. He was talking to the Jews in a Jewish manner under signage that showed his power. And they were making comment on where his power come from. And they said the wrong thing. And Jesus jacked them on it. And he said, you keep running your mouth and you're going to damn yourself for eternity. But he never said anything else and then backed it up or anything after that. After these things were said right here, that was the end of it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Apostle Paul never spoke anything about an unpardonable sin. Never said a word about it. Don't you think that the Apostle to the Gentiles, if it was an unpardonable sin, that the Apostle to the Gentiles that laid out the plan of redemption for us would have mentioned that if it had to do with us? It doesn't have to do with you, brothers and sisters. There's no such thing as an unpardonable sin. No such thing. That scenario right there of the unpardonable sin was in that scenario, in that context, to them people for running their mouths. And the Lord Jesus Christ squared them up on it and said, if you keep it up. But he never turned and said, and the rest of you. He never addressed anybody else but them. And it's never mentioned ever, ever again. Some people say this unpardonable sin is your last rejection of Jesus Christ. Well, how in the world can that be? How can you be eternally damned again for rejecting Jesus Christ when you're already condemned? The Bible says that if you're not going to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's okay. But you're damned anyway. You're damned before you even get offered Jesus Christ. All the unsaved people in this world, and you included, when you were born into this world, you were damned and under the wrath of God and condemned already. You didn't have to do nothing. You're just condemned. And then people are going to say, well, it's the last rejection of Jesus Christ. No, there's no such thing as getting a super damnation. You're already damned. That's not the unpardonable sin, folks. There is no unpardonable sin. Jesus said, it's finished. When that atonement came, and that was way after this conversation. This conversation is way in the past. When that atonement came, it done away with all sins. Now let me read this to you again. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, this is the Apostle Paul in the gospel of the grace of God in the New Testament, talking to Gentiles and the Jews. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Never mentions an unpardonable sin. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You getting this? There is no unpardonable sin, folks. The Bible doesn't teach that there's an unpardonable sin. It teaches that there is a instance in the context in the scriptures where the Lord reprimanded some people and showed them that if they're going to be that daring with their stinking mouths, they're in danger of being damned for eternity and not having any forgiveness. Now, why was Jesus mentioning forgiveness? Because that's what he was here for, was to go to the cross and pay for all men's sins. Now, why would he say, you're never going to get saved? There's no way for you to get saved, and I'm still going to go to the cross. Well, why would he have done that? Why would he have, that would have been foolish of the Lord to sit there and say, well, I'm still going to go to the cross, but there's one sin that you can't be forgiven of. No. Nothing like that. That's not it. had nothing to do with us, the unpardonable sin. No such thing. All sins can be forgiven. All sins can be forgiven. And the Lord paid for them all. I know some rock bands that blaspheme the Holy Ghost over and over and over and over. And are you telling me that if one of them changes and accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, that Jesus' blood doesn't pay for those blasphemes? And pay for those blasphemes on those records and talking about I wouldn't be one to put my I'm not making this a light thing, because Jesus jumped them for that. I'm not making this a light thing at all, but Christ's blood pays for everything. And if you're going to tell me that these rock bands under the gospel of the grace of God that blaspheme God the Holy Ghost specifically and put blasphemous images on their albums and all this sort of thing and in their lyrics about the Spirit of God, and that they can't be forgiven, then Christ's blood is not for all, is it? Yes, it is for all. Because when he talked to these people, the atonement had not been made yet. Now the atonement's been made. And Christ knew that things were going to wax worse and worse and worse and worse. And he told us about that in Revelation. And people were going to blaspheme and all sorts of things. We've been over these blasphemous things, itemizing sins, remember? Blasphemy. Remember? Things that Christians are supposed to put away. Blasphemy. Things Christians are supposed to take off. Things Christians are supposed to... Blasphemy. You see? It got blown up. That's what it done. The devil done a good job of it. You know, all charismatic and Pentecostals fear committing this dreaded unpardonable sin. But there is no unpardonable sin. The fundamentalists do not fear committing it, but say that it's the rejecting of Jesus Christ as one Savior for the final time. They were already damned before they were offered Jesus Christ. If they died, blaspheme or no blaspheme, they would have went to hell without Jesus Christ. Rejection of Jesus Christ for the final time is unpardonable for the one that does die and goes to hell. But that's not the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. These people were getting personal and like pointing their finger in God the Holy Ghost's face and saying, "You wicked, unclean spirit." Yeah, like that. That was a one-time instance in the Old Testament under the law with Jews and a Jewish teacher and a Jewish God that was talking to Jews about Jewish matters. When it comes to the New Testament and it comes to the gospel of the grace of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the atonement that he made, there is no unpardonable sin. Now, I think we've been over the scriptures about this matter. You say, well, that's all the scriptures that have to do with it? Yep, that's all of them. That's every one of them. Now, you can interject any kind of comments or I think or, well, this verse shouldn't be like this or blabbity, blabbity, blah. But we just read all of God's word concerning the unpardonable sin. And all we talked about was a description of the context and what they were talking about. And we stayed in context. And there were no scriptures to compare scripture with scripture except for these five. There are no other scriptures. The Apostle Paul never spoke of it. And none of the others did. God the Holy Ghost never told anybody else to write about it. just to record this. Now, what is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost? Jesus told us what blasphemy against the Holy Ghost very plainly. Look at it. It said, because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. Because they said it. He hath an unclean spirit. This is the exact definition of the unpardonable sin. So, is it possible to be forgiven of rejecting and blaspheming Christ? The Apostle Paul said, said that before he was saved, that he was a blasphemer in 1 Timothy 1:13. He said, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul got mercy for blaspheming. The Apostle Paul said that before he was saved, he was a blasphemer. Mark chapter 3 says that blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is something that is said because they said. It is something that is spoken with the mouth. It's not a decision you make, referring to Jesus. Hath an unclean spirit. Because they said, referring to Jesus, he hath an unclean spirit. He speaks by the chief of the devils, or chief Beelzebub. And Jesus jacked him on it and said, you getting real close, buddy. I mean, they were talking to God. You see that? So I hope this makes a little bit more, gives you a little more clarity on this matter. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing else to study about it. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is not cursing the Holy Spirit per se. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You couldn't commit the unpardonable sin right now if you wanted to. Mark 3:30 says that. Look at it again. We read it. The scripture says, because they, then it is not you. It's somebody before the crucifixion. And they said, he hath an unclean spirit. Any of you ever been tempted to say that? If you were, what would it mean? Jesus Christ isn't here now in the flesh performing miracles as signs to the nation of Israel. He's not even here. The bottom line is the unpardonable sin was committed by certain Jews before Calvary who saw Christ's miracles in person and claimed he had a devil to be able to do them. Luke chapter 11, verse 14 and 15. It says, and he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb, and it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. You have to rightly divide God's word, as he's told us. And you can get in a real mess, and the devil can lead you anywhere if you don't stick by the book. After the Lord's resurrection, everything changed concerning all sins, forgiveness, and pardon. All means all, folks. Acts chapter 13. This ought to be some of the best news you've ever heard. We got a wonderful Savior. He did it, and he finished it. He said, it's finished. If there's an unpardonable sin, folks, it's not finished. Acts chapter 13. See, that's some of the Catholic stuff. Well, you might be saved and you might not be saved, and you might be saved and you might not be saved. That's some of the devil's business to tell you there's an unpardonable sin that you might have committed and you don't know you committed it, so you might be saved and you might not be saved. That's him. Acts chapter 13 and verse 38 and 39 says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." This is after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the atonement has been made, and God accepted it. "And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Amen. All right. Well, I thought we was going to get a little farther than that, but we took the time we needed. Do you understand this now? I mean, is there anything that is confusing to you about it? It shouldn't be. Jesus never said anything about, well, if you lie 500 times, he didn't say anything about a lie. He wasn't even talking to you. And after the resurrection, before his ascension, he spent 40 days here being seen of lots and lots of people and talking and eating with them, and he never brought the matter up. And before he ascended, while he was standing there with them, and he was taken up in front of them and flew up into heaven, while they were watching, he didn't say, "Oh yeah, remember that unpardonable sin now." There is no unpardonable sin. And it would be very dangerous for me to say that plain out of my mouth for you to hear and to lead you astray if there was. There is no unpardonable sin. Name your sins, and I'll tell you every single sin that you name, no matter what it is, it can be forgiven. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Now, if he don't forgive you for every one of them, he's not faithful. And just, if he don't forgive you for every one of them, he's not just, because Jesus paid for it and he accepted it. Is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and then cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No, your sins are paid for. Jesus provided that for us. If you're trusting Jesus Christ, your Savior, all your sins are paid for and you're on your way to heaven no matter what. If you're walking around with unforgiven sins, you're commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to confess them. We talked about that, remember? Confess them and get yourself right back in fellowship with the Lord. And if you said some stupid stuff out of your mouth, then confess that to the Lord. You know? The Lord is so wonderful. He made a perfect plan. His plan is perfect. The only time his plan gets out of kilter is when man starts messing with it. But God's word is perfect. It's pure. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And I'm glad. I'm glad that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? All right, we're going to stop right there. Let me give you these scriptures. Are you ready? Here's the scriptures for the unpardonable sin. Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. Mark chapter 3, verse 28 through 30. Luke chapter 11, verse 14 and 15. Luke chapter 12, verse 10. Mark chapter 3, verse 30. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. And then we had, I didn't read it, but you can go through there and read it because there's quite a few verses, like 28 verses. Mark chapter 3, verse 2 through 30. Read that. All right, and then 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, Mark chapter 3, verse 30, and then Luke chapter 11, verse 14 and 15, and Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39. Amen. Amen. All right, the unpardonable sin. That's probably one of the best parts of this study so far, isn't it? There is no unpardonable sin. Forget it. Just study to be holy. Just do what the Lord says, and as far as your sins are forgiven, they're forgiven. You can't commit an unpardonable sin. But yet, shall we sin because we have grace? God forbid. We don't want to sin. We don't want to sin. Right? Right. Right. We don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. Do you want to sin? I hate sin. Sin's been nothing but trouble for me. And still is. And if you told the truth, you too. So that's all we're going to talk about today. I hope you'll come back on our next recording, brothers and sisters, and we'll get back into this matter and talk some more about this sin. And we're getting down to the closing of this study. We're going to talk about what the sinner has or does not have. Has or does not have. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. I love you with a Christ love. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.